Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening later on the recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, October 19, 2024. This is our review of our chapter 82 entitled, Why Weepest Thou? Of our lesson 419. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to bless us once more with the Tiny Tot song. It's a hymn, 327, entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hands than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies of rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are just joining us. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, to open the review section with prayer. Maybe I'll meet your mic to do so, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day to keep the Sabbath day for holy. 6 days shall I labor, in the world I work, in the seventh day, the Sabbath of the Lord. Please protect me and the Sabbath people that's here, not here. And they can come back next Sabbath, whatever Sabbath we have next time, no matter if we don't or do. They can come back if they're sick when they get that better. They can come back in the Sabbath and join and learn all these new songs. And do the Sabbath Bible that probably some people have or don't, but you still can learn from from God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you so much, little one. It's time for us to be able to enjoy and glorify God for all the little blessings our little ones have been in their household, in their neighborhood, also in their school. If you would like to share your testimony with ones, maybe unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. For today's Mother's Helper, Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessings, I'd like to highlight Haley and Emma. Last weekend, after Sabbath, we went to go do the laundry, and Emma, in particular, was a very helpful hand. She was excited to go. That was the blessing. Her excitement to be able to come and help, and her eagerness to want to do every single thing, from loading the machines to unloading the machines to putting and taking out from the dryers and folding up. And just when they were tired, she still wasn't willing to leave me behind. She wanted to make sure that everything was done. So we want to thank God for them. And Haley was of assistance too. But Emma really, by God's grace, was very much more enthused and willing to be able to do so. So I praise the Lord for the both of them, for their willingness to be able to be helpful. It definitely helped to lighten the load, and it was a blessing to be able to work together. So I praise God for them both, and may He bless them continuously.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Many hands, little work. Thank you so much, dear sister, for sharing. It is time for our precious little one to learn their review lesson of their chapter 21 entitled Before Herod, Part 2 of our storybook, The Story About Jesus. And our dear brother will be the one to share.
The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 23. Jesus before Herod. And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice in your joy. No man taketh from you. This Jesus said to his disciples to encourage them. And the same day Pilate and Herod were made friends together, for before they were at enmity against each other, or against between themselves. This is what happens occasionally. They get hardened between two people, and it takes some special event to make them friends. Now he had still more hardness as Herod. He could not bear the silence of Jesus. Jesus wouldn't answer his questions. His face grew dark with passion. He angrily threatened the Savior, who still remained unmoved and silent. Christ had come to the world to heal the brokenhearted. Could he have spoken any words to heal the bruises of sin-sick souls? He would not have kept silent. But he had no words for those who would trample the truth under their unholy feet. The Savior might have spoken to Herod words that would have pierced the ears of the hardened king. He might have stricken him with fear and trembling by laying before him the full iniquity of his life and the horror of his approaching doom. But Christ's silence was the severest rebuke that he could have given. When people ask questions, they like to be answered. The ear that had ever been open to the cry of human woe had no place for the command of Herod. That heart, ever touched by the plea of even the worst sinners, was closed to the haughty king who felt no need of his Savior.
In anger, Herod turned to the multitude and denounced Jesus as an impostor. But the accusers of the Savior knew that he was no impostor. They had seen too many of his mighty works to believe this charge. Then the king began to shamefully abuse and ridicule the Son of God. Herod and his men of war set him at naught, it says here, and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. And that's taken from Story of Jesus, pages 130 and 131.
Next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 of our study entitled Before Herod in our tiny thought lesson book, The Story of Jesus. And that will take place October the 26th of 2024. Now I'm going to pass it to our dear brother to share the review questions. If that little thing would just move. Okay, here you go, dear brother.
All right, in review. What couldn't Herod bear?
The answer to number one is he could not bear the silence of Jesus.
You can't argue with silence. If Jesus had made some accusation or answered him in any way, that would have given Herod an opportunity to argue with him. But you can't argue with silence. What was Christ's silence to Herod?
The answer to number two is that it was the severest rebuke.
A severe rebuke. The severest rebuke, yes. I wonder if he understood it. He must have. That's what drove him to mistreat Jesus. What did Herod denounce Jesus as?
The answer to number three is Herod denounced Jesus as an imposter.
Yes. He said, you're no Christ. You're no savior of the world. You're no prophet. You're fake. And then the spirit of prophecy says that he got down off of his throne, and he and the Jews started mistreating Jesus, maybe with their fists, pushing him around. And if the soldiers had not intervened, Jesus might not have lived to go back and see Pilate. Thank you for taking part.
Amen. Thank you once more, dear brother. And good job, little ones. It is time for Tiny Talks and parents to learn the review of their precious lesson in God's creation, and our topic, Moments of the Bible. And let's have a listening ear for our dear brother who will be the one to share.
Sad blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning mammals of the Bible. Our Bible verses for our lesson review is taken from the book, FBL, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 4, A Servant. It's taken from the book of Matthew, Chapter 5, verses 8 to 9 says, Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Well, we will review from lesson 3, Gazelle. But we'll be looking through the research from the story of Christ. What Christ said on the mouth before or the reading. Okay, research is pure in heart and peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Jesus did not mention this ceremonial purity as one of the conditions of entering into his kingdom, but points out the need of purity of heart. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, James 3:17. And in the city of God there will enter nothing that defiles. All who are the dwellers there will here have become pure in heart. And one who is learning of Jesus, there will be manifest a growing distaste for careless manners, unseemly language, and coarse thought. But when Christ abides in the heart, there will be purity and refinement of thought and manner. Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing, pages 24-25. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew 5:9. Christ is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6, and it is his mission to restore to earth and heaven the peace that sin has broken. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. Whoever consents to renounce sin and open his heart to the love of Christ becomes a partaker of this heavenly peace. There is no other ground of peace than this. The grace of Christ is received into the heart, subdues enmity, it allays strife, and fills the soul with love. He who is at peace with God and his fellow man cannot be made miserable. Envy will not be in his heart. Evil surmises will find no room there. Hatred cannot exist. The heart that is in harmony with God is a partaker of the peace of heaven, and will infuse its blessed influence on all around. The spirit of peace will rest like dew upon hearts weary and troubled with worldly strife. Christ's followers are sent to the world with a message of peace. Whoever, by the quiet, unconscious influence of a holy life, shall reveal the love of Christ, whoever, by word or deed, shall lead another to renounce sin and yield his heart to God, is a peacemaker. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, pages 27-28. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalm 119:165. This peace will keep us from losing our self-control. The same tempts us to feel offended by what someone has said or done or has left undone. And we're looking more research about the gazelle. The gazelle, or any of several fleet, medium-sized antelopes with slender, evenly developed limbs, levels back and long necks. Most gazelles are tan colored with white underparts and rump patch, a dark side stripe, and contrasting facial markings. They inhabit the arid lands of Asia, from China to the Arabian Peninsula, North Africa, from the Saharan deserts to the sub-Saharan Sahel, and then Northeast Africa, from the Horn of Africa to Tanzania. Most gazelles are placed in the genus Gazella family, Bovidae. The order is Artiodactyla. Gazelles have adapted to inhabit waterless steppe, sub-desert, and even desert. They can extract water from the plants they browse, those from 1,019 words, taken from the website Gazelle/African Plain Mammals plus Antelope Species of Adaptations/Britannica. And it says in this part, pure in heart and peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew 5:8-9. What could we learn from our nature walks, experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. From the lesson with concerning the matter from you taken from the sister family, we have lessons from the book about birds that goes along. Nature, birds and inland waters and marshes. Most water birds wade, swim, or die for their food. Most water birds live where the water is quiet. For wading, swimming, and diving is difficult in a fast-moving stream or river or even. By the ponds and marshes, the birds build their nests. How Saul, we mean King Saul, needed the quiet streams of the water of life. He could have been like David, who said, "He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness or obedience for his namesake." Psalm 23:2-3. Some American Canadian freshwater birds are the American coot, California gull, common loon, horned grebe, king rail, and many kinds of ducks, like the mallard. Next is the picture of a cornfield. Oh, they also took. We have a her lesson concerning corn. Another name for corn is maize. It is found or known on every continent and possibly in every country in the world. In the Bible, the word corn is used for cereal grains such as barley, rye, oats, or wheat. It does not refer to Indian maize, a cereal of American origin, unknown elsewhere until the discovery of the New World. Corn is a solid-stemmed grass. The flower is found at the top. The corn grows as a side branch, first blade, then the ear, and after the full corn in the ear. Mark 4:28. The ear is covered in husks and has rows of grains on a rigid cob. It is yellow or white when ripe. When the corn is nearly ripe, it bows its head and stoops lower than when it was all still green. But just so, when the virgins are ripe for heaven, they will become more humble and self-denying. The roots and the leaves of the corn are useful in urinary problems like kidney stones, bladder troubles, and bedwetting. The stigmas are used for bedwetting. A poultice made with the corn can be applied for ulcers, rheumatic pain, skin itching, and swellings. The roasted corn can be made into powder, which makes a good drink to relieve nausea and vomiting. As corn can be used as a medicine, so the corn of heaven. Taken from Psalm 78:24, the word of God is food for the wise virgins, which have been healed from the deadly disease of sin. And just as corn is reaped as a result of labor and sweat of the face, so also spiritual bread requires the sweat of the soul. The virgins had labor to prepare for the bridegroom. They had secured extra oil. So also we have to work our own salvation. Taken from Philippians 2:12. While we are alert to pray to God for heavenly mindedness, God answers our prayers by placing us in circumstances in which this grace will be the result of our own experience. Next we have the picture of a beautiful fourth and fall taken from Sister Danielle, who also took the photo of the cornfield also. This reading explains how and why the leaves and all these trees each changed into different colors. Says here, chlorophyll makes the leaves green from a green substance in the chloroplasts. Chlorophyll can remind us of faith, which captures light coming from the sun of righteousness, and turns it into spiritual food. Most trees also have reds and yellows in their leaves, but the green conceals these colors.
late summer and early autumn, the chlorophyll of many broadleaf leaves breaks down, and the leaves stop making food. Then the leaves die. But before the leaves fall, they reveal their hidden reds and yellows. Carotene, which is present in carrots, corn, and daffodils, those give the leaves a yellow color. After the chlorophyll breaks down, May leaves also develop scarlet and purple due to the presence of anthocyanin. There are many hidden blessings, colors, and leaves in the Sabbath that we can enjoy, and that is why we do not sleep it away. It is thought that change in the color of the sunlight in the fall is the trigger that causes chlorophyll to fade away. On the Sabbath, there is a change in the sunlight. The whole day is unusually bright with a special blessing of the sun of righteousness. There is no soil on which a tree can grow better than that which is formed by the decay of its own leaves. This can symbolize that there is nothing more helpful to the soul's growth and grace than meditations upon the shortness and uncertainty of human life. We all do fade as a leaf, Isaiah 64:6. Death comes in all seasons, and the young may fade in sickness as well as the old. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 90:12. Nature is fading leaves, and fleeting glories are preaching eloquent sermons. The Sabbath is a good day to attend nature's service. Nature, kinds of clouds. Scientists gave clouds names to describe what, both, this is based on the picture taken from dear sister Cece and E and her family. It says here, nature, kinds of clouds. Scientists gave clouds names to describe what type of clouds they are. Clouds that look layer-like are called stratus clouds. Cumulus clouds are piled up or heaped up white clouds. Cirrus clouds are curly or wispy white clouds, sometimes called mare's tails. As the clouds are given names, so John named the sins that need to be put away to have purity of heart. Injustice, violence, hypocrisy, etc. Stratus and stratocumulus clouds are usually seen closer to the earth. Next, we have the daffodil. The daffodil is part of the perennial family. Nature, perennials, part one. Remember, perennials are plants that live at least 3 years. They may not bloom during the first year of growth. Once they begin to bloom, they do so a year afterwards, depending on their species. Some examples of perennials are lily of the valley, aster, iris, peony, primrose, sweet violets, and many more, daffodils included. Moses and Aaron can remind us of perennials blooming year after year, demonstrating their beauty. Moses and Aaron again and again showed their beauty of character by their love for the people and respect for God. And next is perennials part two. Do you remember how long perennials live? The answer is in the first rectangle. Okay. In a climate with more dead seasons, perennials should be set into the garden in spring, but in warmer climates, early autumn is best. Many perennials spread by sending out shoots from their roots. The shoots grow into new stems. Many perennials make new shoots soon after they have bloomed each year. The plants do better if they are dug up, divided, and replanted every few years. This reminds me and us of how God had to keep moving the Israelites. He divided them when he separated the rebels from them. This was as at the time during Korah's rebellion. Those who were faithful would be replanted in Canaan. What are some perennials in your area? As the perennials bloom, send forth new shoots, you remind us of the rod of Aaron that budded, bloomed, and brought forth fruit. It taught the people that the lesson of respect for God's leaders. In climates where it is cold, many trees lose their autumn. lose their leaves in autumn. Some trees keep their leaves during the winter and stay green all year long. Those are the evergreens in order to classify them. Anyway, trees follow the order of nature. Trees that lose their leaves begin preparation and to shed their leaves long before cold weather comes. The rhythmic order of the seasons is set by God, and trees respond to it. Maple, beech, apple, and pear trees, so that the ones and both sisters Haley and Emma were running around picking from, are moved to warmer lands, continue to drop their leaves, even though it does not turn cold. The habit has become so much a part of the tree's nature that they cannot change. Trees that shed their leaves in autumn rest during the winter. In the spring, these trees will grow new leaves and flowers. The flowers develop into fruit, which contain the seeds for making new trees. Some tree fruits, like apples and oranges, make good food for us. These fruits are raised and sold in large amounts each year. Behold, I have given you every tree in the which of the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you shall be for me. Genesis 1:29. Trees also make new wood each year when the weather is warmer, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves, that summer now nigh at hand. Luke 21:30. Wood is very valuable in making lumber, paper, and many other products. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Haggai 1:8. God foresaw all the needs of people he created on this earth when he created it. Trees were one special creation, and one of the greatest gifts trees give us is their beauty. They cheer the springtime with their buds and blossoms, and the hot summer they provide us with cooling shade. They delight us in the autumn with their brilliant colors, and even in the winter they hear their dark bare branches contrast beautiful with the pure white snow. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches. Ezekiel 31:9. Without trees, the world would not be nearly so beautiful. We learn many other important lessons from trees this quarter, or in the fall, if need comes. Continue our reference reading for the mammals of the Bible of our review, taken from Thoughts on the Matter Blessing, Chapter 2, The Beatitudes of Part 2. Blessed are the pure heart, for they shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Let's continue. The Jews were so exacting in regard to ceremonial purity that their regulations were extremely burdensome. Their minds were occupied with rules and restrictions and the fear of outward defilement, and they did not perceive the stain that selfishness and malice imparted to the soul. Minor Blessing, pages 24, or paragraph 2. Jesus does not mention this ceremony of purity as one of the conditions of entering into his kingdom, but points out the need of purity of heart. The wisdom that is from above is first pure. James 3:17. Into the city of God there will enter nothing that defiles. All who are to be dwellers with God there will have become pure in heart. And one who is learning of Jesus, they will manifest a growing distaste for careless manners, unseemly question, and coarse thought. When Christ abides in the heart, there will be purity and refinement of thought and manner. Blessing pages, verse 24, paragraph 3. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Matthew 5:9. Christ is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. And it is his mission to restore to earth and heaven the peace that sin has broken. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Whoever consents to renounce sin and opens his heart to the love of Christ becomes a partaker of this heavenly peace. Final Blessings, pages 27:22, paragraph 2. There is no other ground of peace than this. When the grace of Christ received into the heart subdues enmity, it allays strife and fills the soul with love. He who is at peace with God and his fellow men cannot be made miserable. Envy will not be in his heart. Evil surmises will find no room there. Hatred cannot exist. The heart that is in harmony with God is a partaker of the peace of heaven and will diffuse its blessing and influence on all around. The spirit of peace will rest like dew upon hearts weary and troubled with worldly strife. Mount of Blessings, pages 27 and pages 27, paragraph 3. Christ follows us into the world with the message of peace. Whoever by the quiet and conscious influence of a holy life shall reveal the love of Christ. Whoever by word or deed shall lead another to renounce sin and yield his heart to God is a peacemaker. MB, page 28, paragraph 1. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. The spirit of peace is evidence of their connection with heaven. The sweet savor of Christ surrounds them, and the fragrance of the life, the loveliness of the character, reveal to the world the fact that they are children of God. Men take knowledge of them that they have been with Jesus. Everyone that loveth is born of God. If any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But as many as are led by the spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 1 John 4:7, Romans 8:9-14, MB, page 28, paragraph 2. And the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, as that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. Micah 5:7, Mount of Blessings, thoughts from the Mount of Blessing page, is 28, paragraph 3. And here are three bonus questions to review. You can find the lesson, run the answers, or in the lesson book, and through the Bible, through the Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing book, if you may. But question one is, what does it mean to be pure in heart? The answers in Thoughts on the Mount of Blessing pages 24-27. Two, what does it mean to be a peacemaker? The answers and thoughts from the Mount of Blessings, pages 27-28. And question 3, what does it mean to have self-control? Now I'll turn the mic back to Mom now.
Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome once more, everyone. I remember, little ones, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and thou beest me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. Welcome once more to all the dear brethren that are in the room and those over other devices and later on recording. Sabba blessing, everyone. Our opening song is a hymn entitled He Lives. You could find it in 251. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living Whatever man may say, I see his hands of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
In all the world around me, I see his love and care. And though my heart grow weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blasts. The day of his appearing will come at last. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal alleluia to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seeks him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives, within my heart. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear family. We are going to ask either the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests to open our review session of our family blessing with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Private blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up for this morning. Please protect us. Thank you for this Sabbath day. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for doing all thy work. In the seventh day of the Sabbath of the Lord, thou God, in it you shall not do any work. Please protect the people that's here and the people that's not here. And please protect whatever we're going to be learning today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from the scripture on singing in the section God's Love. This is from chapter 1 of John, chapter 3, verse 1, margin.
What manner sons of God. What manner of love? 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love.
Amen. Praise the Lord. What have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your question, your comments, or anything that you would like to share on our first part of a new chapter entitled Why Weepest Thou? In our storybook, The Desire Ages, we are going to take a few minutes to read last Sabbath lesson. We are in The Desire Ages, page 788. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 788. The woman who has stood by the cross of Christ, waited and watched for the hours of the Sabbath to pass on the first day of the week. Very early, they made their own way to the tomb, taking with them
precious spices
to
anoint
the Savior's body. Next slide, please. Continuing, they did not think about his rising from the dead. The sun of their hope had set and it had settled down on their hearts. As they walked, they
recounted
Christ's works of mercy and his words of comfort. But they remember not his words, "I will see you again." John 16:22. The Desire of Ages, page 788, paragraph 1.
Amen.
The Desire of Ages, page 788. Ignorant of what was even then taking place, they drew near the garden, saying as they went, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" They knew that they could not remove the stone, yet they kept on their way. And lo, the heavens were suddenly alight with glory that came not from the rising sun. The earth trembled. They saw that the great stone was rolled away. The grave was empty. Desire of Ages, page 78, paragraph 2.
The women had not all come to the tomb from the same direction. Mary Magdalene was the first to reach the place. And upon seeing that the stone was removed, she hurried away to tell the disciples. Meanwhile, the other women came up. A light was shining about the tomb, but the body of Jesus was not there. As they lingered about the place. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading. Suddenly they saw that they were not alone. A young man clothed in shining garments was sitting by the tomb. It was the angel who had rolled away the stone. He had taken the guise of humanity that he might not alarm these friends of Jesus. Yet about him the light of the heavenly glory was still shining, and the women were afraid. Next slide, please. They turned to flee. but the angel's word stayed their steps. "Fear not ye," he said, "for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Yet he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Again they looked into the tomb, and again they heard the wonderful news. And I'll bubble down for the next slide for someone else.
We continue to read from Desire of Ages, page 788. Another angel in human form is there, and he says, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day risen again." Desire of Ages, page 788, paragraph 3.
The Desire of Ages, page 789. "He is risen. He is risen." The women repeat the words again and again. No need now for the anointing spices. The Savior is living and not dead. They remember now that when speaking of his death, he said that he would rise again. What day is this to the world? Quickly the women departed from the sepulcher with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. Desire of Ages, page 789, paragraph 1.
Mary had not heard the good news. She went to Peter and John with the sorrowful message. They had taken away the Lord out of the sepulcher, and we know not where they have laid him. The disciples hurried to the tomb and found it as Mary had said. They saw that the shroud and the napkin, but they did not find their Lord. Next slide, please.
Continuing, yet even here was testimony that he had risen. The grave clothes were not thrown heedlessly aside, but carefully folded, each in a place by itself. John saw and believed. He did not yet understand the scripture that Christ must rise from the dead, but he now remembered the Savior's word foretelling his resurrection. The Desire of Ages, page 789, paragraph 2.
Amen. Good job, everyone. So what we have learned and how much we have grown, dear ones, before we hear all of the answers to the question, let's consider our verse for our review answers, taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now we are going to reread the questions that we have held from last Sabbath by God's grace. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two is, what's the main idea for this section of our story? The third one is, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to type it in the room or even use the mic, who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
The main characters, for the answer for number one, who are the main characters? The main characters are Mary, John, Peter, and Christ.
Good job.
Number two. What is the main idea for this selection of our story is the resurrection of Christ.
Number three, where does the story take place? It takes place at the tomb where Christ is resurrected. Number four, it takes place on the cross where Christ dies.
How I could relate to the story. The angels wanted to let the woman know that there was no need for Ephesus to stay sad because the Lord was no longer dead. He had come back to life. Reminding him about what he said. I bet they were now seeing that what he said before his death was finally coming true. And little did they know that they were being more close to God now that he had fulfilled his mission.
But number six, what did you learn from this lesson? I learned that with Christ, there is an order to everything. And in everything that is in regards to Christ, that there's a lesson. For example, we saw that John was able to find a message and the way that the clothes was folded and neatly folded by Christ when he was risen. And so that helps him to believe the very act that it was indeed Christ who had risen from the cross, because he knows that with Christ there is order.
I also would like to add that we need to constantly pray for the Lord to bring back the lessons that he teaches us daily, to bring it back to our memories in times that is needed. Because as we can see, when we learn things and we are in time of peace or tranquility, when we really, really need them, and it might be a time not so peaceful and tranquil and might need our specific, remembrance, we lose that for that moment. So we have to pray for the Lord, or we should pray for the Lord to bring back to our memories the things necessary for the time appointed.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Is there anybody else that would like to share? I have observed a couple of things in this story. And one of the major ones is that with this particular part one, we can see that even the non-immortality of the soul was being taught that far back. And for them to be able to acknowledge concerning such a very important pillar, when Christ was supposed to be anointed for his body and prepare for his burial, it was done when he was conscious. And that happened with the other Mary. When the other Marys were coming to do so, it wasn't necessary because the dead don't know anything. It was already done while he can be able to feel all of the love and their gratitude while he was with them. And another thing that I also have observed was, even though that they had so many following Jesus and they heard him while he shared in Galilee about the prophecies of what's going to happen to him, the women was not even thinking about it while they were going towards the sepulcher to try to anoint the body. It's like happening the same thing for this time. If we don't have the word of God in that in us, like when we read and when we study it deposit in us, we don't know in what way it will be brought, but praise God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it will do so. But we still have to deposit the word of God. We have to have the word of God in our thoughts and in our hearts, that when the time will come, even if we didn't understand it in that time, the Lord will bring it to our remembrance through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's like you are placing the treasures in a bank, or you're placing the treasures in a treasury box, which is your brain. We try day by day to learn a little bit about the Lord. And as the Lord is teaching us through the power of the Holy Spirit, or by having Bible studies, or even when we come for Sabbath, doing the sermons and the youth study, it's there. And in time that the Lord will bring it, it's going to be not only a blessing for your own life, but also a blessing for others when you are asked the hope of your faith. That's what I have observed in this particular section. If there's anybody else that would like to share their ones before we move to the other section. Okay, we are going to continue. We have thoughts and poems and special music. Our thoughts is taken from a spirit of prophecy book entitled The Signs of the Time, dated August 21st, 1901, entitled The Need of Missionary Effort. This will be covering paragraph 1 through 5, and our opening scripture to our reading is taken from Isaiah 55, verse 6, King James Version, and it reads, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is nigh." Who would like to be able to take the first paragraph here once? May you unmute.
The last message of mercy be given to the world by the proclamation of gospel truth, Bible truth. This is what the people need. On our knees, we are to claim the promises of God's word, asking that we may receive pure, unadulterated truth, and that we may realize the necessity of giving this truth to others. Then men and women will be converted. The hand of God will be recognized in the raising up of new churches. The Lord will baptize with the apostolic spirit many who will go forth to do missionary work in places where the people know not the truth. The Sign of the Times, August 21st, 1901, paragraph 1.
True missionary work will furnish the churches with a sure foundation, a foundation having the seal. The Lord knows them that are his. Then God will be glorified in his people. Christian missions will be built upon Jesus Christ. Under the supervision of God, the work will go forward. And innumerable evidences will be given of the genuineness of the work. The work will not seek to glorify itself, but will praise God as the designer and organizer of every holy and noble work. They not only profess to be believers, they're believers. They are sanctified by the truth, for truth acted as well as preached has a purifying influence upon the character. The Signs of the Times, August 21st, 1901, paragraph 2.
In the home and in the church, the true missionary is a living exposition of the truth. He eats the flesh and drinks the blood of the Son of God, and his life is molded according to the divine similitude. He digests and assimilates the word, saying, I live yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. True missionary work leads those in it to bow before God in humiliation and unfeigned gratitude for the past and present manifestation of his power. They hide self in Christ, praising and glorifying him in the one altogether lovely. Signs of the Times, August 21st, 1901, paragraph 3.
Christian missionary work is of great value to the home churches. By it, the members are inspired with holy, sanctified zeal to deny self, to lift the cross of Christ, to labor with self-sacrificing effort to send the truth to regions beyond. Christian missionary work has a reflex influence on the churches, influence uplifting and sanctifying. It has a salutary influence upon unbelievers, for as the workers labor under divine superintendence, worldlings are led to see the greatness of the resources God has provided for those who serve him. God's truth, demonstrated by the working of grace in the heart, multiplies the agencies of Christian usefulness and makes a decided impression upon the world. Signs of the Times, August 21st, 1901, paragraph 4.
God desires his people to be living examples of the purifying influence of the truth. He desires them to reveal in their lives its power to elevate and ennoble. Thus, they are to illustrate the excellence of the truth, raising the standard of Christian courtesy, tenderness, and love. With an intensity of effort, they are to seek to save those who are perishing. Let their heart yearn even to breaking over those who know not the truth. Let not believers center their thoughts upon themselves. Let them go to work for others, forgetting self and the loving desire to help those around them. Let them think and plan and work for those who know not God. It is not only the learned, the talented, who are to work for others. All who claim to believe in Jesus should do this. This is Christian usefulness, and this work lets show a holy dependence upon God.
Dependence upon God, sanctification of purpose, earnestness in service, these distinguish between those who serve God and those who serve him not. We who believe are to illustrate in our lives the excellence of the Christ life. Church remembers are to arise Members are to arise and shine amid the moral darkness of the world. If we are connected with the light of the world, we shall reflect light to others. If we partake of the Savior's rich grace, we shall be a blessing to those around us. Signs of the Times, August 21st, 1901, paragraph 5.
Reflection. True character is not shaped from without and put on. It radiates from within. If we wish to direct others in the path of righteousness, the principles of righteousness must be enshrined in our own hearts. Our profession of faith may proclaim the theory of religion, but it is our practical piety that holds forth the word of truth. The consistent life the holy conversation, the unswerving integrity, the active benevolent spirit, the godly example. These are the mediums through which light is conveyed to the world. Desire of Ages, page 307, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And the poems that we are going to share is entitled Coming to Jesus, taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 4, Lesson 13, from page 346, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mind.
Number 1, Jesus, the condescending King, is pleased to hear when children sing, and while our feeble voices rise, will not the humble prayer despise.
Two. Then keep us, Lord, from every sin which we can see and feel within, and what we neither feel nor see. Forgive, for all is no to thee.
We own there's nothing good in us to tempt thee to befriend us thus. For sin and folly waste our days. Our prayers are weak and poor our praise.
Yet, Lord, we humble venture high, because thou cantest down to die, and all the plea we dare to make is pardon for thy mercy's sake.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. Our special music is taken from the Holy Scripture. It will be sung in a cappella. This one is taken from Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 8, margin. Seek ye the Lord, what he may be found. Call ye upon him, call ye upon him, while he is near you. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man is taught. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Ye call upon him, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man is taught, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. We are going to take the time, maybe later after the services, to share our testimony, because we are almost over. So this week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 2 of our lesson, entitled, Why Weakest Thou? Why Weepest Thou? In our study book, The Desire Ages. If anyone of the dear remnant family, our guests, or even the little ones would like to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads on our knees? Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We thank you for this blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all your blessings through your lessons and through your word, Father Jesus. We pray for all the little ones and their participation. We thank you for the reading and also the participation of their parents. Continuously bless and keep them. Be with us as we go to the next section of our study. Continue to bless us in this blessed Sabbath day. Thank you again for this Sabbath. Be with the speaker. Bless him and give him the word to impart, I pray. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. Next Sabbath by Gazis, that will be October the 26th, 2024, we will continue with our part two of our chapter 82 entitled Why Weepest Thou, and that will be lesson 420. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from the Ministry of Healing, page 72, paragraph 2, and the actual scripture coming from Isaiah 49, verses 15 to 16, and it reads, "Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the sons of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have graved thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continuously before me." And from our quote, "Circumstances may separate friends, and restless waters of the wide sea may roll between us and them. But no circumstances, no distance can separate us from the Savior. Wherever we may be, He is at our right hand to support, maintain, uphold, and share. Greater than the love of a mother for her child is Christ's love for His redeemed. It is our privilege to rest in His love, to say, I will trust Him, for He gave His life for me." May you all have a wonderful Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.